review of Everzoom. This is one of the research projects. The main objective of the research project is to find out why Everzoom causes so much complexity in practice and whether we can do anything about it. At the moment, constituents have mixed views about the future of Everzoom and what the industry should do about it. The paper that we have is a planning document, and it basically just describes the approach that the staff plans to take to the research. The approach basically comes to looking at the main application issues that arise in practice, causes of complexity, and also looking at the potential ways forward. At the end of the research, staff plan to prepare a research paper, which will hopefully provide more focus and direction for constituents during the next agenda consultation when they comment on the future of FRS2. So this is the plan that's described in the paper. And at this stage, I would like to ask you whether you agree with the suggested approach and whether you have any comments. That's it from me.
Yeah, that's short. Very good. Sue.
Thanks. What really struck me when I was reading this paper and some of the examples of counterintuitive results that people were giving, it's really getting to the heart of this whole idea of what's equity and what's debt, because it's all very well to say it's counterintuitive not to remeasure the value of options when I measure them at the grant date, but that's because it's an equity instrument. So. And Hans made a comment yesterday when we were talking about something else in terms of post-implementation reviews and how appropriate it is for us to be thinking about fundamental reviews of standards which are quite new. If we were to do some of this stuff, we'd basically be ripping up some really fundamental concepts in IFRS2 and starting again. So I'm just not sure in terms, not, you know, people have, you know, I'm just wondering about expectations management and whether we realistically would be thinking about some of this stuff and how it interacts with the FICE project, how it interacts with the conceptual framework, because at the moment the concepts of debt and equity in IFRS 2 are actually aligned with what we have in the conceptual framework, unlike IS 32.
I completely agree with you, and I think like the way the research is going and tentative conclusion that I came to, like people have strong voices about the future of IFRS 2, but one of the concerns is to address that concerns would be to rewrite dramatically IFRS 2. And the question is, do they really want to take this route and do that? And to just basically just to spell it out for people in the research paper so that they know what, like, before they open the can of worms, you know, that the consequence might be like very significant rewrite of IFRS 2. And I think like people voice all these like, you know, concerns and like, you know, you want this and that, and it doesn't work and it's too complex. But the consequence of all those complaints are very significant rewrite of the standard, and I'm not sure that that's what they want to do.
So
and
in itself, that would be a useful exercise.
Yeah, it's more like, yeah, just spelling out to people, you know, because there have been so many voices about the complexity and criticism of IFRS 2.
But if I ask somebody whether they like the complexity of having to work out whether something's debt or equity under IAS 32, they'd probably say, no, I don't like the complexity, but what would we do as a consequence of that? I'm just worried about what the sort of consequences of people telling us it's too complex realistically can be.
I think this is one reason in particular why a post-implementation review is not an appropriate thing to do, because that would do that in isolation, and that this is a way of actually nurturing the project. I think there's a clear statement in here that the basic premise is we should retain the existing basic requirements as much as possible. We're just trying to document practical issues that people are encountering. And that and to do that, you need to work in conjunction with Manuel's project as well. So by doing that, without a post-implementation review, I think that's actually a more positive way to do it, because it means that the teams can work together.
I found this a helpful paper. I did not have the same concern and reaction to it that Sue had, but I think Sue's reading of it gives us, you know, an important reminder about messaging and explaining to people while we're doing this. I think it's Nadia, it's very helpful to bring out that if you take the typical indicators of when should we be looking at a standard, what are the number of implementation issues, non-GAAP measures, etc., IFRS 2 hits the radar screen. But there's a very basic, a very central kind of, some would say compromise, some would say conclusion built in, which is there are two models in IFRS 2. And any time in a single standard you have two models, you're going to have complexity that comes out of it. So when people say grumble, grumble, lots of complexity, et cetera, really, if you really want to address that, the only way you're going to do that is by reconsidering having two models in the share-based payment standard. I don't think the staff is recommending that we consider a project that reexamines that. I think the staff is... What you're saying here is, without going out and doing requests for comment and assessment of IFRS 2's in practice, you're saying let's dive deeper into the reasons for the number of implementation requests, et cetera, so that we can point out, so that we have a better idea of if somebody says let's do a project on X, what might be involved in carrying that forward. And with that objective in mind, I think you've laid out the right scale of work, including not doing any kind of request for information, not doing a mini or full-blown PIR. So I think that this would be a helpful contribution to the agenda consult that's coming out. But I think the different way that Sue read it, hinting at a possibility of reconsidering some fundamental concepts, we've got to make sure that get messaged more clearly.
I mean, isn't some of this just because they are complicated arrangements that are being accounted for?
Yeah. But just to explain it to people who grumble, basically, in a better way. Yeah, that's the idea.
I think there's some similarities here with the discount rates thing, where initially people thought that we're trying to change the world with discount rates, but what we're trying to do is actually say that in that project, I think we're finding that we're actually we're not that inconsistent in the way we express our wording, for example, consistent with messages. So that itself is a useful outcome as well. So it may.
And Alan, back to your earlier comment that we'd be retaining the core principles of IFRS 2 as much as possible. I don't even think we need to get into that. I think that kind of saying something like that could raise the presumption that we are considering changing any of the principles. I think it's just this is one of the items on the research agenda. Why is it on the agenda? What are the points people are asking? We're not necessarily thinking about reconsidering anything.
And I think also the GPF meeting was very indicative and very useful in this sense, because yes, there were many concerns and people were grumbling a lot and giving lots of examples where IFRS 2 was difficult to apply. But basically, when it came to the indicative vote in terms of what they would like to do about the future of IFRS 2, they put it as a low or medium priority. So yes, people do complain about IFRS 2, but when it actually comes to, so, and I guess so that the objective of the research and of the paper is to explain the future of IFRS 2 and those different views. So those people who have like most strong views.
Any other comments, questions? So now that Ian has taken his seat, can we take a break?